Okay, how is everyone today? Good? Very good. Okay, I'd just like to open in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing time of worship we've had and time around the communion table. We ask that as we keep moving on with the theme of love, that you will bring the words that are needed to each of our hearts today. In your name, amen. Okay, a little bit of background. Thessalonica was a proud capital of the Roman province of Macedonia, with a population of more than 100,000. It was a centre of education as well as commerce, which meant its citizens lived in a blend of cultures, philosophies, and religions. Last week, we heard that shortly after Paul started the church, opposition arose to such an extent that Paul was forced to leave. In fact, the danger was so great that Paul escaped in the middle of the night, and we see accounts of this in Acts 17 and 18. After Paul's sudden departure, his young church was exposed to persecution, and Paul became concerned about their faith and their well-being. So he sent Timothy to the Thessalonian church to check on them and report back. I have found this chapter to be of great encouragement, especially in relation to our prayer walks that we've been having each month. Paul's letter is to encourage the Thessalonians in their walk with their relationship with Jesus and looking in hope of Jesus' return, which is also encouragement for us and the example Paul is to us on how to mentor and share the gospel with those around us. The main theme for me in this chapter is love. The love of the Father, sending his Son to die for our sins, that once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we have that love and the gospel truths to pass on to other lost souls. Our rich reward is one of his return. It is also his love for others to share and mentor the good news of the gospel. And we sung that in What a Beautiful Name. It said, did not want heaven without us, so Jesus has brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? So I just want to read the first eight chapters. Oh, sorry, the first eight verses. Whoops. So for yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with the pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others. So we could have made demands on apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves, because you have become very dear to us. Okay, so here we see Paul shared the salvation message with sincerity, not to selfishly serve himself. He fully surrendered to the gospel. He sacrificially served others and accepted suffering because he understood that we never speak the word of God in vain. His ministry was more concerned about the eternal souls of the Thessalonians than with making a name for himself. Paul did not let conflict or criticism discourage him from completing his calling as God's mouthpiece. His heart ached with one burning passion that impacted how he viewed mankind. He saw every man as a lost soul in the need of the Father's love. Just as a mother is compelled to nurse a tiny babe in her arms, Paul is tender to help point every hungry soul to the true source of daily bread in the true God. So just in verse 4 it says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. We are all entrusted to share the gospel with those around us. At times this can be daunting, and we are fearful of stepping out of our comfort zone. I know myself, it is a challenge. God will equip us with the things to say and share. As a congregation, over the last 4 months, we have been praying and going out and speaking with people in the community, around the church and our own areas we live in. Already, we have had encouraging stories to share and have had multiple conversations with the same people over each month. Prayer points to pray for, the different people and others that we've met. As a congregation, we join together to see the answers to our prayers. Have you considered what an awesome privilege it is that our God has entrusted us with this precious message of the gospel? May we ask God to break our hearts for the lost and fill us with a passion to share the good news with compassion. We are not responsible for the results, but we are required to speak up and share. Now I want to read verses 9 to 16. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be burdened to any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhort each one of you, and encourage you, and charging you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Amen. And we also thank God consistently for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the church of God, in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as did from the Jews. Who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So as always, to fill up the measure of your sins, but the wrath has come upon them at last. Paul testifies how Silas, Timothy, and himself support themselves financially with work while sharing the gospel so they would not be a burden to the new believers. They work hard and commit themselves to encouraging the new believers in their work with Christ and sharing the good news of the gospel. We see in verses 11 and 12, it says, for you know how, like a father with his children, He exhorts each one of you and encourages you and charging you to walk in the manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul talks about the Father's love. I'm going to ask you to think about a few things. So once I've set the scene, take a little while and listen what the Father has for you. So can I ask you to close your eyes and imagine the picture that I'm going to create for you. It is a lovely sunny day and you are walking in the park. The sun is shining on your face and there is a slight breeze. You can hear some birds fly overhead and a dog is barking in the distance. The Father is right beside you. He is close. He is holding your hand and whispering encouragement to you. What is he saying to you? And what is he encouraging you to think about or do? Spend a few minutes now to talk to the Father about what he is saying to you. Father's love for us is awesome. We see this in the following verses about his love for us. In 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. In Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was passionate about proclaiming the gospel for one purpose. He wanted to reproduce disciples, surrendered to Christ, who received the scriptures and fully obeyed its principles. He challenged the believers of Thessalonica to walk worthy, to their glorious God and King. And we see that in verse 13. It says, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." This is believing the Bible is the inspired word of God to direct and lead us in our walk with him. Paul led by example and lived a holy life, wholly devoted to sharing Christ with others. Here we see a parallel of when Jesus was still on the earth and how he mentored the disciples. The only difference being that Jesus was sinless, where we all have our sin to contend with and to bring to Jesus for forgiveness. We need to ask God to help us live more like Jesus today so that people seeking truth will look at our lives and want to imitate our transformed walk. Severe persecution is threatening their lives in Thessalonica. And we see in verse 15, "Who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind." We read an account of this where Jesus tells of the downfall of the religious scholars and Pharisees in Matthew 23, 29 to 34. And this is from the Message. "You're hopeless, you religious scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You build granite tombs for your prophets and marble monuments for your saints. And you say that if you have lived in the days of your ancestors, no blood would have been on your hands. You protest too much. You've cut from the same cloth as those murderers and daily add to the death count. Snakes, cold-blooded sneaks, do you think you can worm your way out of this, never to pay the piper? It's on account of people like you that I sent prophets and wise guides and scholars, generation after generation, and generation after generation, you treat them like dirt, greeting them with lynch mobs and hounding them with abuse. You can't squirm out of this. Every drop of righteousness, righteous blood, ever spilled on this earth, beginning with the blood of that good man Abel, right down to the blood of Zechariah and Barachias' son, whom you murdered at his prayers, is on your head. All this I'm telling you is coming down on you, on your generation." With that persecution, the Thessalonians were experiencing, they also were clinging to the promise that Jesus is coming back. This promise is more from the ultimate promise keeper to his beloved children. He is coming back. The Thessalonians had to learn to live with this hope as they lived their lives in the now, and so do we. In Matthew 24:36, says, "But concerning that day, that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." Paul guides us in his encouragement for the new Christians and encourages them to share the gospel even when they are facing persecution. Jesus is coming back, friends. So like the early Thessalonians, we will see this revealed to us as we journey through Thessalonians 1 and 2. The truth can shape our lives as we cling to the hope of a better tomorrow while living in the present of today. Now let's look at verses 17 to 19. "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person and not in heart, we endeavor the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we want to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? It is not you, for you are the glory and the joy. The joy of Paul's life was pointing people to Christ. He viewed the believers in Thessalonica as his crown, and he felt responsible for spurring on their spiritual growth. Although opposition from Satan had made it difficult for Paul to be physically present in Thessalonica, his heart still passionately pursued the believers there and pointed them to the coming return of Christ. And as in a verse again in What a Beautiful Name, it says, you have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. The enemy sought to obstruct Paul's plans to minister to the believers in Thessalonica. But God's kingdom purposes cannot be blocked. Rather than visit in person, Paul wrote this letter, which we have the benefit of reading and learning from today. Satan can never tarnish or destroy God's works of present faith. He cannot obstruct God's eternal destiny at work among his children. What is the joy of your life? Are you actively encouraging others to grow spiritually on a regular basis? Perhaps like Paul, you've faced a great deal of spiritual warfare and feel stuck. Rest in the knowledge that God's plans for you are perfect, and in whatever steps you take today to share the good news of the gospel will serve as your glory and joy on that magnificent day when we see Jesus face to face. Ask God to show you how you can creatively share the gospel this week. Maybe you can write an email, send a text, or call a friend to share your testimony. You don't have to be physically in the same room with someone to impact another person's life for eternity. As we all know with COVID and how things have changed in the way that we communicate with people, I just want to finish now with this prayer. Lord, give us the passion and the boldness of Paul to communicate the hope of salvation with the people in my circle of influence. Burden us with a tender affection for the souls of men and show us how to tell the lost that you alone can truly satisfy. Amen.